Welcome to the audio ministry of Grove Park Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. We pray you will be blessed by today's message. I
invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Exodus chapter number 14. One of the things that I started working on while on sabbatical was determining what my strengths are and to make them better. And so I've been talking with a leadership coach on that. And one of the things that, in all the analysis, one of the top five of my strengths is competition. And I am very competitive. If you've ever played against me, you might know that. I tell you that, though, to tell you that yesterday, and you know, and I've talked about this before, I'm rather loud and ferocious at football games. And yesterday, we sat next to six Minnesota fans. And those are the nicest people on the planet, y'all. They were so nice that when we scored for the first time, I almost looked at them and said, I'm sorry. I didn't argue with a single call all game. It was just the most unique experience ever. And so Minnesota is just a... Yeah, I would never been. I'm going to go, though, because those people are really nice. And they have a lot of cheese up there. So, two good things at one time. Exodus 14. Would you pray with me? Truth that cries through every age, our God is God of all. I'm not sure I got that quote just right, but the premise is still true from the anthem that we just heard. So God, as we look at a very familiar passage today, I pray that you would help us to see that you are present at all times, that you are guiding, that you are leading, and that it would, Lord, undergird us to move forward into the place that you would have us to be. For, Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've spoken to you before about meta-narratives of the Scripture. In other words, there's these giant themes throughout Scripture that just sort of undergird everything that we find in Scripture. And one of those meta-narratives, one of those great themes, is that the people of God are a people continuously on the move. It really starts in the beginning with Abraham and how Abraham is in Ur, and he is called to go to a place that he doesn't know, and he goes and he travels, and his whole life is one spent on pilgrimage, as is the life of his son and his grandson, Jacob. And then we come into the part of Scripture that we're studying currently, Exodus, and again, Exodus literally means, you know, leaving, and so we're again on journey. And this isn't just an Old Testament theme. You're going into the New Testament, and as we saw last year around this time when we were in Luke and the travel narrative of Jesus, Jesus is continuously on the move. He's continuously journeying, and then it goes on afterwards, the book of Acts and the remainder of the New Testament tells the tale of the church moving continuously, and we follow Paul along on his missionary journeys as he goes here and yonder and ultimately winds up in Rome. The people of God are people continuously on the move. Now, beloved, we should understand something this morning, and that is the fact that it is not simply that we are supposed to be a people on the move. It is simply the fact that God expects us to be a people on the move. Well, where do you see that? Go back up to chapter 13, beginning in verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night did not depart from before the people. You know, I don't think I've ever noticed this until looking at this text this time, but it says that he gave them the pillar and the cloud that they could move at day and night. In other words, they're to be continuously moving. You say, well, Mark, that's just next to impossible. I mean, aren't they? This is a big group, beloved. They're supposed to be continuously moving. God expects us to be moving. And so the question for us is, are you moving today? Now, beloved, don't take me too literal. There's more to moving than just travel. There's moving in terms of wisdom. There's moving in terms of perspective. There's moving in terms of the exercise of your spiritual abilities. Personal growth is movement. So are you moving? Are you growing in wisdom? Are you growing in how you see things, or are you just still on one perspective, and that's the only perspective you have? You know, sometimes I'll talk about things either here or in the Bible study or in a noon devotion, and I talk about it so it is to stretch your perspective a little bit, to give you some room to grow. And beloved, I understand that is not always easy. This past week, I had a reading for class, and man, I hated that reading. Matter of fact, I wrote the professor, when I turned the paper in on Friday night about 10 o'clock, I wrote the professor and I said, I don't think I got what she was laying down, or else I severely disagree with everything in there. What was he doing, though, in giving me that reading? Stretching me, because it's from a perspective of theology that I do not abide by or think of, but he's stretching me. Beloved, we are supposed to be continuously growing and stretching and moving. God expects us to be moving. And if we are the same as we've always been, there's a problem. There's a problem. Now you say, but Mark, what about when I get tired? Can I stop? Sometimes I just get tired. Can I stop? Well, I understand that. You know, we're taking a trip with my mother at Thanksgiving, and Eliza is already beginning to warn me now, you are going to stop. Why? Because once I get in that car, we are not stopping till I get where I'm going. I don't care if you're thirsty or about to explode. We're going to get to where I'm going. And she's already saying, Mark, you're going to have to stop. You're going to have to stop. Beloved, you can stop. But make sure that where and when you camp is where God expects you and wants you to camp. Verse 1, chapter 14 says, Then the Lord said to Moses, Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi Hatheroth, between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon. You shall encamp facing it by the sea. In other words, he says, I want you to go right here and camp. You know, sometimes you and I will pick where we choose to camp because it's comfortable there. We'll pick where we decide to just stop in our journey because we don't like the rigor of continuously moving. And this looks like a really nice, quiet place. And so we're just going to camp here. Beloved, we are never to be the ones who choose where we decide to stop moving at. It's God. And understand that the reason why we decide to camp where God tells us to camp is because there is a reason why God tells us where to camp when. If you go and read verses 3 and 4, you're going to see that God says that he's going to set a trap for Pharaoh. He's going to say to Pharaoh, is going to think, well, they're lost in the wilderness. They're out there wandering around. And so I'm going to go and I'm going to get back my workforce. And I'm going to entrap them. And really what it is going on is that God is setting up a trap for Pharaoh. You know, the Scripture says, and we like to quote it all the time, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And we think about that text and we think that yes, that's me. But beloved, you've got to be where God placed you in order for everything else that God is working around you to be at the right spot so that you can understand that all things are working together for good. If you're out of position with God because you are not moving, because you are not growing, because you're not changing your perspective, because you are not growing more wise, because you're not using your spiritual abilities, if you are out of place, you're going to miss the whole show. God was very specific here about where he wanted them to camp. Now, because God is so specific in where he calls them to camp, understand that when we are camping and things aren't going the way we think they ought to, we have no reason to fret. You know, verses 10 through 12, the children of Israel are going to really get bent out of shape. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they feared greatly. Now, it's interesting. If you go back up to verse number 8, you're going to say that the people were the scripture will say that the people were defiantly moving. But now that they've stopped, they're fearing greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would be better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." They begin fretting. Beloved, you have nothing to fret today if God has told you to stop and you're exactly where you're supposed to be. You have no reason to fret. Moses is going to go tell him. He's going to say, "Fear not, because today we're going to see the salvation of the Lord." But again, I come back to the point, if you're not where you're supposed to be with God, then you have every reason to fret. And you need to be on the move, get moving to where God wants you to be, to what God's calling you to do, to what God is expecting of you. But if you're out of place, again, you need to get moving. And understand that even though you may like where you're camping, there's going to come a point in time where God's going to say, "Move. Move." Verse number 15 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward.'" Now, literally here, it's emphatic. It's not just like, you know, "Moses, just get up and tell the people. Just, you know, it's time to go. Come on." No. The language here is such that it's God says to Moses, "Moses, get up and order the people to get moving." Beloved, I'm going to go a step further than I have already this morning and say that there is not a spot in every one of our lives today where we are not expected to be moving. And the question is, are you moving? The question is, are you just more in love with where you're camped than you are in love with the God who tells you to get moving? He says, go. Go. Don't mark time. Go. You say, but Mark, I'm not really sure about this. I'm a little afraid of moving. It's been very comfortable here. Mark, I'm a little uncertain of what the future holds, and I need to play it safe. So I just don't think I want to move. Well then, beloved, understand a few things. Number one, understand God's got your back. Verse 19, then the angel of God who was going before the host of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was the cloud and the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. In other words, God says, move. And what does he do? He goes behind Israel and protects Israel from Pharaoh's coming army. Beloved, do you know somebody who's got your back today? I mean, literally, do you know somebody that's got your back? You don't have to stress or worry about anything. You know they've got your back. Someone said to Liza the other Sunday, they said, you know, when Mark goes up to preach, it looks like you're saying, sick 'em. That's your look. Well, why does she got that look? Because she's got my back. She's got my back. I don't worry about a thing. She there, I'm fine. She even sits behind me at the ball game. Why? Because she's got my back. If she's there, I don't stress at all. When she goes away, and she probably would dispute this, but I'm going to tell the truth anyway. When she goes away, I really don't know what to do. I'm good for about 6 hours and three war movies, but after that, I really don't know what to do. And if I have to go somewhere and do something without her, I get really nervous. Beloved, God has your back. If he has told you to move, and he is always telling us to move on some issue, God has your back. Trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not into your own understanding. Beloved, if you're not sure about going forward and you're just leaning back, God's got your back, and you can just fall into him and move. But it's dark out, Mark. I'm not real sure about this. Did you catch that in the text? They're moving at night. And the end of verse 20, and it lit up the night without one coming near the other all night. They are moving at night, but understand that it lit up the night. So God also is lighting your path. He will give you the light. I don't know what to do next. Just take the next step. I don't know what to do next. Just take the step after that. I don't know what to do. He's got you the light for the next step. He's got you the light for the step after that, the step after that, the step after that, the step after that. He will give you light, beloved. He already has. You know how I know? Because he gave you Jesus. And the scripture says the light shone into the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. And you know I talk about this verse a lot, but I really do desperately love it. As someone who loves the dark, but really doesn't like it too dark, to know the fact that God sent light and never, 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 never. It's like, oh, and 935 gazillion, the light has never overcome it. And so you can trust that God will give you light. Also recognize something. God always starts new things in the dark. You see, we keep our day from sun up to sundown. But that's not how God keeps the day. Go back to Genesis. How does God start the day? It was evening and morning. And it was the first day. God always starts new things in the dark. And so if you're sitting and you're saying, well, God, I know you're telling me to go forward, but I can't see a thing because it's dark out, beloved. You shouldn't be worried. You should be rejoicing, because that means there's a new thing coming that God's going to do. And you just need to what? Get moving. You say, I'm still not real certain about this. Well, notice other thing. Verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Beloved, God has already gone ahead of you. God has already gone ahead of you. How do I know? Because he just sent the wind right here. The wind created the path that the children of Israel were to go forward on. Now, I should make a point here. It's not only that it created the path. What holds the wind, the waves, excuse me, the water back for the whole trip? The wind, right? So, not only has God created the path, but God has kept everything back and is surrounding them. Now, you say, well, where do you see surrounding, and how do you know that's all God? Because here's the cool part of the text, beloved. Here's the coolest part of this text. The word here for wind is not like, you know, the answer is blowing in the wind fame. The word here for wind, if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, you're going to find wind. It's going to be at the same spot where you see, and the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. It's going to be further on in Genesis when you see, and God breathed life into Adam. You see, beloved, here it's the same word for the Spirit. The wind is the same word as the Spirit. And so God, through the Spirit, has created the path. And God, through the Spirit, has surrounded them on the journey, because the wind is what is keeping the waves back. So now, beloved, not only do you have God behind you, not only do you have God present with you to light the next step, but God is already before you. And as you go into that unknown ahead of you, he's also all around you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I know I got God behind me, and I know I got God with me, and I got God in front of me, and I got God all around me, then you know what I say? Bring it. Bring it. Why? Because he's got everything. He's going to take care of me. The same God who knows the numbers of hair on my head, do I not think that he will not take care of me? David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. So, beloved, if he's got all of this, then I can get moving. Now understand something. When you get moving, it's going to be different. Because I can't ignore the fact that the Spirit is the creative force at work in creation. The Spirit of God is what is the creative force at work in creation. The Spirit is always creating something new. So the Spirit is creating the world. You know, the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters in Genesis. The Spirit is what is at work in us when it creates in us a new heart and makes us a new creature in Christ Jesus through the work of regeneration. So when God calls you, beloved, to move, he is also calling you to a new place, and that means that he is calling you to new growth. And so are you growing? Are you growing? I can't miss this point today. Are you growing? Now, Mark, when you say grow, what are you talking about? Well, I think the scripture will drive the point home here. Verse 21. Again, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Verse 22, and the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall on their right and on their left. Verse 27, So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea turned to its normal course when the morning appeared, and as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh, and had followed them into the sea. Not one remained, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being the wall to them on their right and on their left. There's a phrase that goes through all of those three passages, beloved. Dry ground. Dry ground. You say, well, Mark, the wind blew in and dried it up. Of course it's going to be dry ground. I mean, if it weren't dry ground, they might have got stuck in mud and then they couldn't move. I mean, but beloved, there's something really cool about this part here. The word here used for dry ground is elsewhere used in Scripture for ruins. In other words, the past. The things that have just fell into disrepair in the past, God brought them through that and put them where? In a new place. Beloved, too many of us as we grow like to antique shop. Antique shop. Yeah, imagine if you're walking through a bunch of ruins and you're walking through and everything's, you know, sort of messed up, and you look, go through and you look around and you say, well, look at there. That's a 1964 Coke bottle that was only made in Piscataway, New Jersey, and it might be worth something, so I better pick it up. Or you go back a little further and you say, well, that might be worth something, so I might need to pick it up. Or this old newspaper from 1842 that doesn't say a blessed thing, I might need to pick it up. And you know what we do? We carry all those ruins with us into the new place. But God says here, the scripture says here, that in the morning, when all was bright and shiny, they were brought to a new place and they saw the ruins covered over. Beloved, God is bringing each of us to a new place, and we can't bring the old with us. We might want to, but we can't. So are you moving? Not only are you moving, but are you picking stuff up as you go that you need to leave behind? A couple weeks ago, my brother texted me, and he asked me about my grandmother's bird washing. I don't know what the name of the thing is right this second. Bird bath. That's what it's called. Bird bath. Bird washing. Y'all see how my brain works. That's why Eliza leaves very specific instructions when she sends me somewhere. So the bird bath, he says, do you remember when the storms come, we have to take the bird bath down? And I said, yeah. He said, well, I just wondered. He said, you know, I got, and I said, I hated that thing. And he said, "Well, I still got it." And I said, "Why do you still got it?" And he said, "Because it was grandmother's." I called my mother. I said, "Why has he got that bird bath in his yard?" And she said, "Why does he got half the stuff in his house?" "Because it belonged to somebody else." Now, beloved, understand something. We got a lot of junk in our house that belonged to somebody else. And we want to keep hold of it because it reminds us of them. But as I said to my brother, if you fill your house up with all the old stuff, you have no room for new stuff. None. None at all. So the question for you today is, beloved, not only are you moving, not only are you growing, but do you have any room for the new stuff? The new stuff that God's going to do in your life. The new experiences that God wants to bring towards you. The new opportunities for growth. The new people He wants you to meet. The new ideas He wants you to entertain. Do you have any room for the new stuff? Then you too must get moving and clear it all out. Because it is a new day in our world. And it's God is giving His church a new opportunity. And if we don't seize it, beloved, we will stand before God and have to give account. So, you ready to get moving? Let's pray. Lord, show us where we're not moving. And help us to move. Show us where show us, Lord, where we got what we got to throw out so that we can bring in new. Lord, we cannot be a people who serve a God who is constantly on the move. If we're just marking time. So speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. Please note our schedule has been revised as of April 2021. Please join us on Sunday mornings for worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary at 108 Trail 1 in Burlington or on Facebook Live. For more information and resources regarding our church, please visit groveparkchurch.net. And remember, grace abounds.